This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level two has begun. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Let's do this thing. Countdown to tip-off for the tournament continues. Great stuff with Joe Madden and Kiev O'Neill. George Kurtz will join us in the next segment, and there won't be any college basketball talk with Kurtz. Although Kurtz should jump on his St. John's bandwagon. We'll hit baseball and hockey with Kurtz. We'll go over some baseball props, add more baseball futures. The baseball season set to begin if you want to get your Cubs and or Dodgers player props in. Season props, yeah, they'll be up on the board, but the numbers will change after tonight as well. But as far as the tournament is concerned, Drake is an interesting team. We were talking about some of these sleepers. Kiev was just talking about High Point. I was talking about High Point earlier. Drake comes in here, and this team is interesting. They're basically like a Division II team, Drake, this year. They have a new coach. He's from Northwest Missouri State. They won four national championships, and he basically brought over, like, the team. So they're a bunch of D2 dudes, but they've won before, right? So they've got experience, and I always like teams like that. You know, in the NBA All-Star Weekend, the G League team, I knew they were going to play hard. And, you know, there's the same thing, Cam, in the basketball tournament, the TBT in the summertime, if they play for the $1 million, there's always the D2 team, and they're always really good. They always knock off, like, a bunch of these, like, flashier university type of teams. They're fundamental. They play the game the right way. I don't think Drake will be overwhelmed by the moment either. They played a national championship games before. You know, it's sort of like a lot like Indiana football, actually. Indiana football this year was basically all of James Madison's football team. James Madison got good. The coach left, and he brought, like, 14 starters with him. And then he plugged them in with the rest of Indiana's players, and suddenly Indiana were really good. But to me, I don't know about the matchup for them against Missouri. If Missouri is patient, they're going to wear Drake down on the boards. They're going to be too physical and athletic for them. But 6.5 is tempting. I could see Drake losing this game, but hanging with Missouri. It's more on Missouri. Like, Drake are going to be Drake. They're going to try to keep this thing in the 50s. They're going to milk down the shot clock to the final 5 seconds, and then their guard takes it to the rack at the end. They're going to do what they're going to do. The game is going to be decided as to whether Missouri get frustrated by Drake's slow pace or Missouri stay patient? Because if they stay patient, Cam, they'll overwhelm Drake. But if they start getting frustrated by Drake's defense and the pace and Missouri start taking lazy shots, they'll play into Drake's hands. But I wanted to like Drake. It's sort of like UC San Diego. I had my eye on a couple of these sleeper teams coming in before the tournament, but it was all about who are they going to get? What's their draw? This isn't a great draw for Drake. Missouri are a very athletic team.
They are. One thing I can say about Drake, though, to your point, Gabe, they're a 30-win team. And 9-1 on the road, too. So they're not afraid to play, you know, away from home. Missouri, on the other hand, was a great home team, and their home-road splits aren't that impressive. You're right. Total contrast in styles. Missouri wants to run up and down. Drake wants to turn this into a rock fight. I like Drake. I have a feeling they're going to be a trendy pick, though, but I like the 6.5. I think they can win this game outright, to your point, if they play defense and frustrate the Tigers. So I will be taking Drake. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be a very popular dog.
Missouri are like a lot of teams. There's a couple of players, impact players, coming into this tournament that we don't really know their status. And the Tigers didn't have Mark Mitchell in their lineup in the SEC Conference Tournament. I think they were sort of saving him for this tournament, obviously. He's their leading scorer. He scores 14 points a game. Like, they're going to need him here. So that's something to keep your eye on. But from what I understand, he's expected to play in this basketball game. So looking at some of these futures, and I tweeted about this earlier, and I brought it up off the top of the program, about how one seeds always win the tournament, but it's amazing to me that it's only happened once that all the one seeds have actually made the Final Four in the same year, and they have the numbers up here. So where is it? Team to make the Final Four, name the finalist. I got to get this the seed market up. Stage number one seeds to make round. All right, Cam. All four number one seeds to make the Final Four is 17-1 plus 1700. You get Auburn, Duke. You got to get Auburn, Duke, Florida, and Houston to the Final Four. You get plus 1700.
I don't know how many one seeds are going to get there, Gabe. Maybe two or three, but I can't see four. There's no way.
Which is the one do you think gets knocked off?
Houston. Houston or Florida. I think Duke goes deep. They're a very dangerous basketball team. Florida's fantastic. They won the SEC tournament. We were on them. Good on us for picking them prior to win that SEC tournament. They've been fantastic, but we also know the SEC is just loaded with killers. It's going to be a tough ride. So I like Duke to go very, very far. So I would say Houston or Florida, but 17-1, do you think all four are going to go? Which team do you have get knocked out then? I'm thinking two out of the four make it.
And I think that Auburn are the most vulnerable, even though Auburn were given, this is another thing that the conference tournaments are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Auburn has lost three of their last four games. So like, do these games count or not? Like, why were Auburn the overall number one seed? And because they got the overall number one seed, they have a more favorable bracket, as I talked about. Like, Auburn's going to be favored, like, pretty significantly against everybody. Yet I don't trust them, Cam. That's the one team I don't. There's something about them that I don't trust. They don't really have flaws either, but I could see them going cold offensively. I could see them getting into foul trouble. I don't know. I just sort of see something bad happening to Auburn. And it's something to keep your eye on, guys, with these SEC teams. Not so much in the first round, but actually in the first round, too. Like, Texas are a good example. Xavier are one of the best teams in the country at getting to the free throw line. And Xavier are one of the better free throw shooting teams in the country. Texas are one of the worst teams at giving up fouls. And if you look, anyone who watched the SEC conference tournament saw, these freaking teams were in the bonus. So, like, 13 minutes left in the halves. Like, it's a foul fest in the SEC. Like, these guys play football on basketball, like, on a court. And we'll see how the referees, like, judge, like, ref this stuff. But these SEC teams could find themselves in some foul trouble, and it could cause them problems. It's one of the reasons why I like the Xavier-Texas game to go over. But looking at Auburn will get the winner of Louisville and Creighton. I think they'll survive, Cam, but it wouldn't be easy for them. Like, I think it'll be a battle that game. You got Texas A&M. Texas A&M already beat them this year,
yep.
Right? Or they could get potentially Michigan. All right, so like I got Michigan beating UC San Diego, and then you could argue Texas A&M and Yale who wins. Then you could debate who goes on after that. But I've got Michigan surviving the first weekend here. It won't be easy, but I think that Michigan survive. And then I got Auburn playing Michigan. And even though I'm a Michigan fan, Cam, I've got Auburn in my bracket here as much as it pains me right now. But Michigan can play with Auburn. Right, I mean, I'll take Michigan plus the points. To me, Auburn are kind of vulnerable, except they don't have that tough of a path. They could play Michigan. They would play potentially Michigan State to get to the Final Four.
That's tough.
Or maybe Iowa State to get to the Final Four. That's not that hard, Cam.
Yeah, no, you're right. I know. I believe like Michigan State is a very, very feisty team, but Auburn much better than them. And that's the whole thing with Iowa State as well. They're a team that they can play defense, but Auburn should be able to outscore them. But you talked about
they'll be favored in every one of these games.
Big time. Huge favorite. Yeah.
Duke are like really, really good. But to me, they're the ones. It's like, wow, they got to go through a lot of good teams to get there. They weren't done any favors either.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Level 2 continues. If you were with us a couple of minutes ago, about 20 minutes, I don't know, whatever, I brought it up as far as There's a bunch of formulas. I saw Gil Alexander talking about a formula today. It's picked 30 of the last 32 national champions, and the exception is UConn in the 2 years. And it's not the same one that we've used with Mark Lawrence over the years. His had more Ken Palm stuff in it. But it's the same. It comes to the same, like, you know what I mean? You could put a couple of different ways of cooking it, but in the end, it's all the same. Like, the Florida Gators are a good example. The Gators are awesome. And the Gators are actually, like, one of the most popular teams, along with Duke. Like, everybody thinks Florida's going to win now. Yet, their coach is the liability here. Like, in the last, like, only 30 to last 32 times a champion, the coach has – you have to have coached in a Sweet 16 at least before. Right, and it's better to if you were in Elite Eight and a Final Four and all this, and Golden never has been. So can they overcome that? But they're so damn good. Like I said, Alabama, they're flawed. Why they don't meet the criteria is they give up 81 points a game. You got to give up 73 or less. So there's a couple of teams that meet the criteria, and it's Duke. If you know, basically we'll break it down in its entirety later in the week, tomorrow, Wednesday, etc. But the teams that literally could win according to the formula, Duke, Houston. Duke and Houston. Like, they're the ones that meet, like, every – they check every box, basically. And Iowa State's metrics actually meet them, but Iowa State's not winning anything. And Iowa State's got injuries as well. All right, so let's bring in George Kurtz right now. His St. John's are getting ready to go on a deep run. George, you should start putting, you know, you don't have any St. John's merchandise at all? You went there, you have a hat, a shirt, something? You got anything?
I believe I have a, you know, one of those leather jackets, you know, with the leather arms and the velvet.
It's probably worth big money. Old school leather Letterman jacket.
First with the Letterman coat. Go St. John's.
That was the first thing I bought when I went to St. John's there. I did have an old shirt that said St. John's, but the lettering wore off years. It's just a great shirt now. You would never know it was once St. John's.
So since you've gone there, you've never purchased anything once again. Doesn't sound like you're very happy with your experience.
Back then I may not have had a lot of money. All right, so it was a little harder to purchase anything. I was having to pay
for
school.
You're like, you don't got to say John's
back
or something.
When parking was, he goes, I just went home. I couldn't afford parking.
Is so true, man. If I had economics class at 8 a.m. and you go there to Jamaica Queen, you can't find a spot. There was more than a few times where I just screwed
up. Oh, you go home.
Go back to bed.
I got to be honest. I never saw any St. John's merch for sale anywhere, George, either, like in Manhattan or anything like that. Like they're not that popular. Like people think, like, oh, yeah, New York, they're big or something. They're not. Like they're not. Like even George's like, no, they're not.
It's like being an Islander fan. It's sort of area, you know, in Queens, Jamaica, these parts of Long Island, but it's not massively all over New York or in the city, no.
George Kurtz in the house. So how'd you do in the NHL tonight, Kurtz?
I did well. All right. Chalk came in tonight, so I did well.
Captain Chalk.
It was a chalky night.
The Leafs rolled all these.
Always on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, the Devils, they went under. Got the under in the L.A. game. I mean, everything really came in tonight very tight. Today was a good day. I'd rather be on a Tuesday or a Thursday where we have a whole truckload of games on a five-game night, but I'll take it and run.
L.A. Kings fall short of Minnesota tonight, and I brought it up earlier. Said, listen, Minnesota, George, they're a very boring team, but they're not easy to play, right? Like, they're not easy to score on. They just sort of suffocate you, and they're racking up points. They're kind of like nobody talks about them, but they're in the playoffs right now, and they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they're probably going to be that first wild card. All right, so that means they're going to face, I guess the winner of maybe Vegas, maybe Edmonton, whoever wins that division, that's who they'll play. Right, because the second wild card is going to play Winnipeg more than likely. So they should have Kaprizov back by then as well, although his timeline keeps getting moved back. You know, so they need him to get back to really make any kind of a run here. But, you know, when you say that, I mean, Vegas and Edmonton, whoever ends up playing them, well, would you rather have played Minnesota or Colorado, who was in that spot for a long time until they finally picked it up, and now they'll play probably play Dallas in the first round. So I think you'll take Minnesota.
That's what I'm saying. Minnesota can. They'll make the playoffs, but they really don't have a hope in hell once they get there.
No, they don't. No. If you have Minnesota Wild future,
they're going to get eliminated. Right now.
Exactly. That's what they do. They're the Wild. They get in, they lose. You said it. That game's the best, George. On Star Show, he goes, who's the stars on this team? They're going nowhere. It's like they're boring. And it's true. Everything is true. They're a very boring hockey team, but effective.
No, I said somebody sent me a tweet and they said I watched the Canucks and Wild play and they said it was the most boring game ever. They went to the game and I watched it too, and it was. Same with Utah last night and Vancouver. Vancouver can't score. And I tell you one thing with Utah, they're not easy to deal with. They play like this, like they really play a trap. Like they literally had four guys at center ice all the time. And they encourage you to dump the puck in from center ice and then you can't get it. They actually have like a nice little system that they're playing. I think they're all short when it comes to the playoffs.
If Utah makes it, I think Utah actually is a little more dangerous than Minnesota. The way they're playing now, if they find a way to get in, they're a hot hockey team.
I might agree.
I don't think they're going to get in.
Probably not.
They're there though. I mean, they're not. Dude, they're only 2 points out. I mean, they're right there. The Minnesota Wild are like pulling away. Like the Wild have 81 points, so they're feeling pretty good about themselves right now. The Vancouver Canucks do not feel good about themselves, but they do have that. They're holding on for dear life at 73 right now. But the Canucks have a big 6-game East Coast road trip coming up. Actually, they are a good road team, but we'll see if they're able to absorb this. And if they do, I think they'll make the playoffs. If they don't, they're not. The Blues are right there right now. The Flames, I think, are going to start to fade as we expected. They got 71. Utah's got 71. What do you think, George? You got Vancouver, St. Louis, Calgary, Utah. Who do you think are the? What do you think is the one team that gets the last spot?
You know, I don't think it matters, mind you, but I'm going to go with the Blues. Give me the Blues here. They're playing well. They got some talent. I'll get the Blues. But like I said, none of these teams is going to be any kind of a big threat.
I don't think Minnesota is, but I'll disagree. Winnipeg could choke. Winnipeg could lose to the Blues or the Canucks. Anything can get hot. Vancouver can get streaky.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level 2 continues. This is Sports Rage. I'm Morenci. An update of what's going on the hardwood right now. Of course, Denver didn't have anybody. They were getting 11.5 points. They're winning by 12. 62-50 over the Golden State Warriors. Warriors, it's a pick 'em right now. It's at the half. Warriors are minus 110 on the money line to come back. Down by 12. Total 227.5. We're on Sacramento. They're up 66-57 on Memphis. In-game total, 239. Memphis are plus 425 on the money line. The Raptors are getting lit up by Phoenix right now. We're hoping for some sort of run by the Raptors, but they're down by 19, 65 to 46. They're getting 20.5 in game total, 211.5. The Blazers are up a 10 spot on the Wizards. Now it's 13. 64-51 on Washington. The second half just started. And you know what? That total actually catches my eye. It's 221.5. I think that one can get there. And the Lakers are up 51-41 on the San Antonio Spurs. All right, George Kurtz in the house with us. Let's get into some baseball. We can get back to hockey, but let's get into some baseball. We got a best of X here. Found this to be interesting. I don't care about, like, Twitter polls and fan polls and what people think about people, but this is a Major League Baseball players poll. Tommy, we can get the best of X rolling here. Best of X. There we go. Better late than never. All right, yeah. So this is a players poll. This is on MLB.com. They had it in its entirety. So this is actually players in Major League Baseball. Who is the best player in Major League Baseball? Number one, Shohei Ohtani. Number two is who surprised me. Bobby Witt Jr. gets a lot of love. Aaron Judge, number three. Mookie Betts, number four. Corey Seager, number five, according to Major League Baseball players. George, I'll throw it to you first. I was surprised that Bobby Witt Jr. was voted the second best player in the game. A lot of love there for Bobby Witt. What do you think of the list?
I mean, I don't massively disagree. I wouldn't have Corey Seager in there. He's always hurt. Great when he's healthy there. I mean, this looks like to me to be the best hitters in the game, right? Because is Ohtani the best player in the game? He's the best hitter in the game. But until he pitches again, he's not the best player in the game.
You know, there's no pitchers that made the list here, as we saw.
Yeah. Exactly. They always get, you know, pitches. And by the way, I don't know if I disagree with that, by the way. You only pitch once every 5 days. So I don't know if you can be the best player in the game if you only pitch once every 5 days. Once Ohtani pitches again, he's the best player. But until then, I think it probably is Bobby Witt, actually. He may not be quite the power hitter of Ohtani and Judge here, but he's a shortstop, great defender here. He can steal bases as well, maybe not to the level that Ohtani was. Like I said, I'm nitpicking here, all right? Purely Ohtani. The only reason I don't vote Ohtani because he's not pitching yet. Once May comes or June, he's the starting pitcher again, then it's him easily. It's not even really all that close. Witt gets it over Judge because he's an infielder, a shortstop. Although Judge is regardless of what the drop ball in Game 5, he's a very good defensive outfielder, but he's not the defensive player that Bobby Witt is.
Who would you replace Seager with five? A guy that's right there that has a lot of respect, but he didn't have a great, he hasn't been awesome in Philadelphia, Trey Turner. I know, like, he's right there, but like you said, you got him and Seager. Seager's hurt often, but Seager's one of those sort of five-tool guys as well.
My only issue with Seager is he's just hurt all the time. I mean, he only played half the season last year. He's hurt a lot here. Trey Turner's season might be on his way down here, but as far as athleticism, he's fantastic as well. But you're right. Who would you put? I mean, would you put Ramirez in there? I mean, Jose Ramirez, he's not going to get
Machado?
Any
love, but I think. What about Machado?
No, he's not top five. I would put Ramirez definitely.
Freddie Freeman
is a base dealer. Freeman,
why not?
You know, I can certainly give some love to him. I think Jose Ramirez would be my choice. I think we
no love for Fernando Tatis.
Tatis is
close. He should have been on this list, but he's not.
You know what I'm saying? Tatis Jr. because of issues, right? Like,
yeah.
But as far as talent, like. Yeah, like as far as talent, like you can make that argument. What else? Like the poll, yeah, I thought it was interesting. All right, most underrated player, best pitcher, most surprising team. So they have other. They actually did talk about pitchers. All right, this was an interesting one. Major League Baseball players were asked which player would be good in another professional sport. Mookie Betts was the winner.
What's
like Mookie Betts bowls perfect games and Mookie Betts dunks basketballs. Like people are like, an NL reliever said, I feel like Mookie's good at everything. I've seen him bowling. I've seen him in the gym shooting basketballs. I've seen him like play golf. He's an elite golfer. He can play whatever sport he wants.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Moretzi. We're just talking about the Major League Baseball Player Survey results. This is an interesting one, and I agree with it, actually. Who's going to be the most surprising team this year? Major League Baseball players responded. The Athletics. The Athletics were the clear favorite on this question. By their peers, believe they have definitely have the ingredients to buck expectations. Brent Rooker, Lawrence Butler. They got a really good group of young guys, and they all seem to really enjoy each other, a Major League Baseball player says. Another player says they also have guys who are fighting for good deals or rookies trying to prove themselves. That's a good mix to have. It is. Guys playing for money. Exactly. Player who should host a talk show or podcast after he retires, Mookie Betts. Seems like players love Mookie Betts. Most underrated player in baseball, George, you named him. They're saying Jose Ramirez.
No, good call.
That's who the player says the most underrated. Well, you're talking about like the top five. You said, all right, who are we going to take off? But they got Jose Ramirez, the most underrated player in the game.
Yeah, he's on Cleveland. He doesn't look great, right? He's not built like, you know, he's in the gym all the time, but he's a great ball player. If he's on the Yankees or the Dodgers or, you know, a more public team, everybody would be talking about him. He's probably a future Hall of Famer.
Listen, man, Mookie Betts is just the star of baseball. Who's
good
a
job,
player?
Austin. Good job.
Who's the player that you would most like to have as a teammate? Ty, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani. One NL outfielder says Mookie Betts is like the freaking mayor of Major League Baseball. Another AL first baseman said, I love to play with Ohtani just to see his daily routine and to be around him every day. Best defensive player in baseball. Andrés Giménez, who's now on the Blue Jays, and for Francisco Lindor tie. They got a tie there. Best pitcher in baseball. Ooh, interesting.
Was one traded for the other, too?
Who do you think they said? Cam, what do you think? Or George, you guys want to guess? Best pitcher in baseball, according to Major League Baseball players.
Skubal.
Good call. I'll go Skubal, too.
Yeah, that's who they said. I'm surprised, but I guess a lot of the pitchers are old now. Hard not to go with Skubal after he was the best pitcher in the game last year. He's awesome, says an AL first baseman. Best player in the game was Ohtani. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Ohtani was the best. But let me see if they have, like, they don't have, like, a top 10. They just sort of didn't see the top five.
They don't have overrated either because people would get angry, probably.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
what the hell are you doing?
That's what you want right here.
Exactly. It's like, what? This survey sucks.
Well, then players wouldn't want to answer the polls then suddenly.
Yeah.
If it creates now. I'm surprised they didn't, though. Like, you know what I mean? You know why they didn't? Because it was MLB.com that did this.
Oh, so like if it was SI.
Yeah, exactly. Like they don't want negativity, right? So like if it was someone else that did it, but you wouldn't get the same answers. But I'm surprised.
Who's the most overrated?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's see.
I got a name in my head.
Is it the guy on the Blue Jays that wants all the money?
No.
Yeah.
This guy already got the money. All right, this guy already got the bag.
He got the bag. Most overrated already got the bag.
And we have not mentioned him, so it's not Machado.
Most overrated already got the bag.
Just the name, the first thing that came to my head.
Not one of your guys. It can't be Stanton.
No.
Who,
no.
Is well, he is. Who is it? Who is it?
I got Bryce Harper comes to mind.
Harper.
Oh, wow. Harper.
Yeah. Harper.
Harper. Harper comes
most
to mind.
Most overrated player in baseball? Nice.
Guys make a huge amount of money. It gets doesn't put up the big numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, he puts up good, but not the huge big numbers of the money he's making here.
You could argue Jacob DeGrom by that measure,
sure.
Right?
Sure. Well, that was a stupid contract as soon as Texas signed it. We were all railing against that, making fun of it. We knew that was
thing with Bryce Harper. He crossed my mind. Like Harper, not overrated, but like. He makes a lot of money for what he does, right?
He needs to do more.
Yeah, it's fair.
But the thing is, he's been around a long time, so I sort of view him as a guy. I don't judge him for it, right? Like,
I like Harper. I'd want him on the Yankees in a heartbeat. He just makes a lot of money for what he does.
Overrated's an interesting question. There's underachievers.
Carlos Correa is more overrated than Harper immensely. People love Correa. This guy's blah, and he's always hurt too.
You're right. He is overrated. That's a good call there. George Kurtz in the house with us. Yeah, that was the Major League Baseball players survey. I wish they had more. It was even more in depth, but it was pretty cool. I'm glad to see this stuff. So Mookie Betts isn't going to be playing in these first two games for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Thanks, Mookie.
Not ideal. What's that, Kurtz?
I drafted him my first round of my fantasy baseball team, the league I really care about. So I'm a little salty when I heard this news last night. All right, a little salty. And it's a weekly league. I can't even bench him, so I got to eat two games of zeros. Thanks.
I don't even know if he's going to be ready for next Thursday, to be honest. I'm hearing he lost 15 pounds.
Don't talk to me about this, all right? He's going to be ready. He's got 8 days, all right, 9 days. You drink up. Drink up.
Yeah, get him on some Wheaties.
Pedialyte.
Did he eat some bad sushi there? What happened?
Yeah, what's going on here? Yeah.
15 pounds for a guy. It's not like he's Aaron Judge who weighs 270. What does he weigh, 170? So 15 pounds to watch for that guy.
It's got to be quite a bad illness. So what kind of illness? We're not playing the season thing. The only illness that on the other team is considering.
An illness. They didn't say what.
They're considering it. They should just send him home early. Time to give him time to build strength. Robert said Betts has lost close to 15 pounds. Betts' illness is not to believe contagious, and it was what kept him out of the Dodgers exhibition games over the weekend as well. You know what? It wasn't. So I'm seeing here, it wasn't something that happened in Japan. And basically, he wasn't feeling well when they went to Japan, and it just got worse when he got there. Had the team know the illness?
He's getting a lot of water weight, and he'll get it back pretty easily. Yeah.
So he's not feeling well. Then he does a long flight to Japan. Didn't help. Gets there. You know what I mean? And just sort of the jet lag hit him. He got worse. But like I said, he wasn't feeling well. The team said if they would have known, they wouldn't have actually brought him on the trip in the first place. But it wasn't that bad. He participated in light workouts when he first got there. But he was visibly fatigued. They say that he is feeling better now. So he's passed, he is feeling better right now, but he's lost some weight. And let's see, I want to see if they're talking about next week. With the Cubs starting of the two-game series. Unknown whether he's going to be ready for next Thursday, George. So your poor. It's all about you, eh, Kurtz? Your fantasy team.
It's always about me, right? Damn right it's about me. you know what's even I only have one backup offensive player, and he's not going to play. The other guy's hurt, too, so I'm sort of doubly screwed here. So, Mookie, let's go. Come on. Some Theraflu, Pedialyte, whatever you got to do. Drink some water, some Gatorade, Powerade, whatever. You'll be fine. 9 days. You're okay, buddy.
Miguel Rojas will play shortstop in both these games, and Tommy Edman will bat in Mookie Betts' spot in the two hole. So there's the Dodgers lineup now for tonight. What are you doing with the game, Kurtz? As the total fell to 8 right now in this game. It was 8.5 with the Betts news. It's gone to 8 right now. There was only a 10-cent move. It was 165. Now it's 155.
I got 7.5, by the way, but I took 8. I took under 8.5 last week when we talked. So, I'm down 7.5. It went down a whole run here, minus 122. If I was betting this, 7.5 really changes my mind a little bit. I'm probably still taking the under at 7.5, but it'd be a much lighter bet. I like the obviously I like the 8.5 a whole hell of a lot better. I don't know why it fell a run. I guess a lot of people are betting the under, and then Mookie Betts out both push that under. I think the Dodgers win the game too. I don't love it enough to put it in a parlay, so I'm just going to bet the under. I have some props as far as the total bases. Otani puts on a show, right? Not a home run, but he's going to get 2+ bases in the game as well. So give me the Dodgers, the under, and Otani. And I'll have a few others before 6 a.m.
It's unfortunate, though. Otani is the one. He's the one player that we get no value with betting on the home run props. Everybody else is pretty good value, actually.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, the pickup players, the hustlers, the people to bust them, and everybody else in between. All right, Kurt, so what are some of the props you're playing in this Cubs game? And we'll get Cam's picks for this game. What are you playing, Kurt?
Yeah, I'm going to go Max Muncy, plus 370 to hit a home run. All right. I already said I'm going Ohtani to get two plus bases here. Probably not going to play the home run prop with him. As you mentioned, not a great value there with Ohtani. You know, funny, I would have played Mookie Betts to get two plus bases as well. Freeman, we feeling a home run or two bases here?
Two bases. Two bases.
All right, so we'll play
Freeman is a two-base machine. Well. Yes, over one and a half is a machine. You know, listen, I used to just do the constant, the trio, George, of total bases over one and a half. Betts over one and a half. Freeman over one and a half. Ohtani over one and a half. But Freeman, for the record, Freeman has been smooth Freddy through spring training as well. He's sort of carried over his hot streak. He's looked good in spring training, for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, so I'm a big Freddie Freeman guy here. Right now I'm looking at the Betts and Breakfast prop bets on FanDuel. Both teams, goose eggs, both teams get shut out in the first inning. Kind of don't mind that.
I say yes. I don't think there's going to be a run in the first inning. There's always the fear of a swing of a bat of a home run here, but I'm expecting both these pitchers to be ahead of the hitters here in this spot. We're talking about two elite pitchers pitching in their home country as well. They're going to be fired up in that first inning.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Minus 128s on that, though, on that. I don't like anything else. Once again, you're not going to play six and start any play and hit a home run in the first inning. No thanks. Over 10.5 runs. I don't think that's happening. Freeman, they call it excellent, by the way. Two plus hits plus 220. That's not enough. Not enough for me to go do that. What else we got here? Kyle Tucker, we just talked about, they hit a home runs, plus 520. They call that
tough. What about those pitchers? The strikeout props are 4.5 and 5.5. It's always tough.
I'm not touching that the first game. I'm not touching. I don't know how long these guys are going to go.
You know what? I'm going to get suckered in here because I've seen this. Dude, last year, Yamamoto, dude, what did he have in the first game? I'll look it up here. I think he had like 5. He didn't last that long in a game either. Like, he's a strikeout pitcher. He's going to rack them up.
I think the Dodgers are going to baby these guys anyway. You know, so if he's up to 80 pitches through 4 innings, he's done, right? Listen, if I was going to bet it, it would be the over. You know, because I think I told you last week, going back to fantasy, is that I wasn't going to start Sasaki. Now I am going to start Sasaki tomorrow. So I'm sort of feeling a little bit better about the Dodger pitchers, but you're going to have to get these numbers probably in 5 innings. I mean, I think we'd be lucky to get any of these guys from the Dodgers or the Cubs to go 6 innings. First start of the game, that's why I get a little worried about this.
As far as home run, these are some of the future home runs. We'll blast through them. Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, total home runs this year. 48.5, Kurtz, over under, 48.5.
He better get the over, because if he does it, the Yankees are in a lot of trouble. He's got
to
get 50
home runs to expect. He gets hurt.
That's the problem. Well, you know, listen, the only injury he's had in the last 3 years is at your ballpark. So he should stay. Listen, you're hoping he stays healthy here. If he doesn't get 48, though, that means he got hurt. And that's bad for the Yankees.
I can't bet it.
I'm not betting it. No. The only Yankee home run prop I got was Bellinger, because it was 20.5. If he should get that by mistake. Yeah. Come on. It's Yankee Stadium.
All right. Adley Rutschman, over under 21.5.
They brought the fences in at Camden, so that should help him. He's a switch hitter here. He was banged up last year. I believe he had a thumb injury. That's why his offense wasn't good the second half. I lean over, but I'm not betting it.
I lean over too, but yeah, it's one of those deals where I'm not
catcher. I don't bet catchers.
Yeah, I'm not in love with it. Like, if it was, you know, 18.5 or something like that. Bregman is 19.5 now at Fenway. It's a pretty fair number. He's hit 23, 25, and 26 in the last 3 years.
I got the over on Bregman. His numbers at Fenway, granted, it's against the Red Sox pitching, which has been bad, but his numbers at Fenway have been very good. I know people pointed out, well, Fenway won't matter because they got the Crawford boxes in Houston. True. But those Crawford boxes only jut out about 50 feet, man. That green monster is all of left field. Yeah, I think Bregman goes over.
Man, I'm all in on Boston. I already played him to win a division. Now I'm going to play Bregman over 19.5 home runs. Santander came on the Blue Jays. 31.5 home runs.
Over. There's no protection in the lineup. He's going to mash.
I believe, George? I think he gets the over as well. That's what he does. If he's not hitting home runs, he's not giving you much else there. Santander's a home run hitter, small ballpark, over.
Yeah, the Blue Jays didn't take advantage of the new park last year at all, surprisingly enough. Right? We'll see if Santander actually does and if Vlad can get it going at home. Bo Bichette, I can't play it, though, at 31.5. Bo Bichette, 19.5. He's not really a home run hitter. Speaking of Bryce Harper, 27.5, Kurt, for Bryce Harper.
Once again, he should get that fairly easy to stay healthy. You play in a bandbox, for crying out loud. But his injury history does worry me, so I'm not playing it. By the way, Bo Bichette, I think Bo's going to have a big year, by the way. Big year for Bo.
Well, he's playing for money. He's playing for money.
That's one of the reasons why. He's playing for money. And he's had a good spring. He almost has as many home runs in spring training right now as he had all of last regular season. I think Bo's going to have a big year.
He actually hit one out of the stadium the other day. Like, he freaking killed it. Like, he literally, like, he smoked it into the parking lot, like, type of deal. You're right. I'm expecting a big year from Bo as well. Doesn't mean I love his home run prop, but he probably gets to 20. Corey Seager's 28.5. De La Cruz is another dude that's been murdering the ball in spring training. De La Cruz is 23.5, Kurtz, over under.
Over, be a smaller play, but over, once again, you're playing a bandbox, good hitter here. His stolen base props will be up there as well. But, yeah, I'll take the over on De La Cruz, but I'm not as bullish on him as I am on the other guys.
Freddie Freeman is 21.5. Jose Ramirez is 28.5. Josh Naylor, 22.5. Juan Soto, 32.5. He's another one that's been killing the ball in spring training. Rodriguez is Julio Rodriguez, 25.5. They're expecting a bounce back. I was talking about Mike Trout before. What's the updated number with Trout right now? Man, it keeps going up. It's 24.5 right now for Trout. Mookie Betts, 26.5. Well, Mookie Betts not playing in these two games. That's two games less he's playing in, just saying. If you look at it,
he's not going to play next week either. Just kill him. No, I won't take Mookie's either.
And Mookie, Pete Alonso, 35.5.
I think he gets it.
I agree. Shohei Ohtani, 42.5.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Renzi. We're taking a look at some of these home run props right now. Devers of the Red Sox. They settled the whole situation. Devers said, I told them how I felt about it, but I'm going to do what's for the best of the team. Right? So we all knew that this would be the final outcome here. George, over under 30.5 for Devers at Fenway.
I mean, I think he gets the over, but I'm not betting it. I don't feel great about it. Once again, he does have very good power to left field, so he'll take advantage of the monster as well. But I like the Bregman bet a lot more than the Devers bet.
Yeah, a lot of these are kind of sharp. Like, they're very crisp numbers, right? O'Neill Cruz is 21.5, actually. Mookie Betts, 26.5. Mike Trout, 24.5. For me, like, the ones that really jump off, what's Machado here? Machado's 31.5. Tatis Jr., we brought up, was, what, 30.5? You know, Soto over 32.5 as well. I think Soto goes over to 32.5. The three that catch my eye the most here, guys. I like the Bregman at 19.5. It's more than a fair number. Soto, a superstar at 32.5, but I don't see how he doesn't get like 33 or more. And I think Ohtani's going to, you know, he's going to be around 50 again this year, 50 plus. I'd be surprised if he doesn't hit 50 plus.
Out of the big names, which guy's going to disappoint and go under?
I could see Alonso getting like 33, 34.
He's majorly protected in that lineup. He's going to get fastballs down the wazoo if he's batting anywhere near.
Yeah, now
near.
He's got Soto. You're right. You're right. And I'm going to rather like face Alonso him than Soto. Over.
I like Alonso to go well. Wait,
what about Trout back. Just due to health?
Nah, I'm not touching Trout. You couldn't pay me to put money on Trout. No way. Nope. Not happening.
I say he stays healthy this year, but I don't like that it's up to 24.5.
Yeah. If he stays healthy, he'll hit 40. So if he thinks he'll stay healthy, take the bet. But I'm not banking on that. I mean, what's the old saying? Those who don't follow history are doing the repeated or whatever it is. No, thanks. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. No, I've been down this road before. I ain't doing it. There's so many home run props to play. I don't need to bet on a player's health. I'm just not doing it.
Here's regular season stat leaders. Like I said, you got to get everything here. All right. Who's going to hit the most home runs at baseball? Judge, +350. Ohtani, 6-1. Schwarber, 10-1. Brent Rooker, 16-1. Alonso, 18-1. Tatis Jr., 20-1. What do you think, George?
Rooker's an underdog, by the way. That ballpark in Sacramento, the ball's going to fly.
Oh, yeah. Good call. What's Rooker? We got to go over on Rooker.
I'm over on Rooker as it is on his home run prop. But as far as him leading baseball, wouldn't shock me. You know, Judge comes down to make the low 40s. Rooker could hit mid-40s, high 40s. Well, wouldn't be a surprise at all here. I like Rooker a whole bunch.
Most stolen bases, De La Cruz, -105. Corbin, there's a big drop-off. Corbin Carroll, +900. Okuda, 11-1. Most strikeouts, Skeens is the favorite.
If you're betting against De La Cruz for the stolen base, you're betting on him getting hurt. Skeens, they could baby him a little bit. I mean, if you want to bet against that and go for someone like Scooble, they also won't – they're not likely to be in playoff contention, so Scooble in Detroit should be, so that should help them him pitch a little bit more. Zach Wheeler could be up here as well.
Most doubles. Durant, +750.
Durant.
Holy, 10-1. Bobby Witt, 12-1. Ramirez, 12-1. Freeman 14-1, Bregman 16-1. Yeah, where's Ohtani actually? Bregman's gonna smack a ton off that wall. I like the Red Sox coming into this year. Triples, you can bet most triples. Corbin Carroll 500, Duran 750, De La Cruz, he's a triples machine, 10-1. Bobby Witt Jr. 14-1. All right, Cam, what's your pick for the Cubs and the Dodgers game?
As I mentioned, I take the coward's way out with Cubs both games to plus money. One of them wins, we split, we make money. No runs in first innings. I agree with you guys. Tucker over 0.5 runs at +200. Edmund over 1.5 bases. And we'll do Ohtani over 2.5. Freeman over 2.5. Those are the picks.
George, I'm going to go with the strikeouts, guys. I'm not going to be scared of this. I'm going to take a shot with the strikeout prop. Pitcher strikeouts. Yamamoto's up to 5.5 right now. Imanaga's 4.5. Yeah, 6 is just a little bit too high. And the Dodgers don't strike out a lot, actually, either. Will Smith might, but they're a pretty smart team. Give me the Dodgers to eke out a lower scoring win. I'll post some player props online. But I think the Dodgers win this game, but it goes under the number. You know, Dodgers 4-2. Win like, you know, 3-1. Yeah, I was going to say 3-1. 4-2 crossed my mind. Thinking 3-1, 4-2 is a possible. 4-3. But Dodgers any under. Dodgers any under. All right, well, tomorrow, the tournament, we'll be rocking North Carolina, San Diego State Live tomorrow night, guys. Other than that, you're on your own.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.